The word of the Lord from Matthew 13, 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. And for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lures of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in a case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The word of the Lord. So I have always had this parable explained as the way that God's word impacts our life and our faith. Are we receptive to the word of God? Are we the path that the word of God can't even penetrate? Are we the rocky and shallow soil that, just as a seed begins to settle, withers because they can't grow roots? Are we the thorny soil where the word of God begins to seep in and you see some growth? But you have such a low percentage of seed to thorn ratio that the thorns of your life kill out the new growth and God's word can barely breathe? Or are you the good soil that is well tended and aerated and the fruits of God are reaping with incredible numbers? Which one are you? So I didn't really like this parable when I was a child. The parable of the hidden treasure? Sure, because who does not want to find gold in a field? I was totally on board for finding something valuable, or maybe learning that God gave me value. Or maybe the parable of the mustard seed, something that was so small that could grow into something beyond our imagination if we nurture it. I was also on board for a God who could do things beyond my understanding. But I was not a fan of the parable of the sower. If 10-year-old Cynthia was to tell you the parable of the sower right now, I think it would sound something like this. There is a very smart and capable farmer who is planting seeds. He was planting seeds all over his property, but there were different soils and some were better than others. If you are the soil of the path, you can't bear plants, so you're dead and basically belong to Satan. Two, if you're the soil of the rocky ground, you can hear about Jesus, but you're so shallow that you will abandon Jesus. Three, if you're the soil of the thorny ground, you might be a good person, but you're surrounded by bad things and will give in to temptation, so you will not bear fruit. Or four, if you're the soil on the fertile ground, congratulations. You have done things right, and you can grow plants that will bear a lot of fruit because Jesus has blessed you. So listen up, because now you know, so don't mess up, because the only option for good Christians is number four. And as I heard the message of this parable growing up, it just seemed to reinforce that I might not be good enough. It felt like a warning story not to be a bad person. You have to hope that you aren't the barren earth or the rocky ground or even the field with thorns. You should pray that you're fertile soil. And if you... So this left me worrying. What if I wasn't the fertile soil? What if I was growing thorns and I... What if I wasn't good enough and then I wouldn't find out until it was too late? I was fixated on the ways that I could be the... I didn't want anyone to think that I was the rocky soil or the hard soil. Now, I have gardened a little bit in my life. Growing up in Abilene, one of our daily chores was tending to the plants in the backyard that my siblings and I chose. Carrots, corn, squash, watermelon, lettuce, things like that. And as an adult, I find gardening to be a spiritual practice, reconnecting to the earth, joining God in preparation for creation, seeing new life come from water and sunshine and a little bit of love. I love to grow herbs and flowers and a few veggies. And with my little experience in gardening, I can tell you without a doubt that you don't go around throwing seeds with no regard for where they go. You prepare the soil. You place them carefully in a row in pre-measured holes so that they're the correct distance apart to guarantee maximum growth and fruit. Some plants need other plants nearby to help the soil, and some you just can't mix because they won't thrive next to that neighbor. So can you imagine listening to Jesus tell this story? Jesus is speaking about soil to a crowd that's familiar with farming. And he is telling a story about a farmer who is literally throwing seed everywhere willy-nilly. I can only imagine the faces in the crowd. What kind of farmer is this? Of course, only the good soil produced a large crop. What a waste of time and soil and energy. But Jesus spoke in stories, spoke in parables, because he was not trying to give a clear message. To those who did not want to hear, to those who saw Jesus as a threat, he was telling a story about a bad farmer. Jesus didn't want those who were opposed to him to hear the bold claims he was making to the open-minded, to those who were willing to imagine something bigger. Jesus was inviting them to imagine, to learn from a new perspective. He didn't use the parables to teach religious facts or moral ideals. Instead, Jesus used parables to teach about who he was and what he was up to. These stories teach us that the kingdom of God is here on earth, brought through the coming of Jesus. That just like Jesus didn't look like the king the Jews expected to save them, maybe the kingdom wouldn't look the way that they expected either. That instead this kingdom would turn everything upside down. That we would have to rethink and reimagine what it means to follow Jesus and to perceive his rule in a new way. And even today, these parables invite us to imagine how the kingdom is still at work. So a story from my own life. Two things about me, for those of you who don't know. First, I have loved to read my whole life. I topped out on accelerated reading from second to eighth grade until my district stopped offering it. Reading was one of my favorite parts of school. But for most of my adult life, I have only read nonfiction. Outside of work, religious, or self-growth reading, I have mostly read biographies and general interest nonfiction. Second, when I make a decision, I like to gather everything that I know so that I can quickly and precisely make the best decision that I can. I like getting 15 hours of work done in 8 hours. And the only way to do this is to gather everything I know and make a decision for the best way forward. But often, this is at the detriment of my own imagination. I'll give you an example. Say Cale and I are trying to decide what to cook for dinner. Kale will come up with exotic dishes to try or a recipe that we loved a year ago. He has 15 options for us to consider and is happy to chat about the possibility of every single one. I, on the other hand, open up the refrigerator. I see Italian sausage and produce. I know we keep flour in the pantry to make pasta, and we both like pasta. Therefore, in 30 seconds, I already know we are making Italian for dinner. There are no other options for me to consider. So, in late 2020, a few months into the pandemic, after months of the same thing with no end in sight, my lack of ability to perceive possibilities was getting tedious, even to me. So one day I read an article about how reading affects our minds and bodies. And I was surprised to read that for those who are sensory, for those who like to decide by what they know, like me, that reading fiction is one of the best ways to broaden your mind. It suggested that reading fiction could help your ability to broaden your perception, to see the possibilities of what could be, instead of solely relying on the limited facts in front of you. So I did what any extremely competitive person would do. I vowed to read 80% of fiction in the coming year and to read as much as possible. I texted my therapist, my holistic doctor, my neurologist, my spiritual director, all my bookworm friends, and I began to read everything that they suggested. I reached my 2021 reading goal by March and then expanded it in July and again in September. Reading became most of my free time. Because for the first time in years, I was transported back to childhood. I had time to imagine. More than once, I woke Kale up well after midnight, giggling with my book next to him while he slept. I remembered how much I love story and how stories make us human, and it opened up my mind to the possibilities of how things could be different. There was always a surprise, a new way to see something or to consider that added a lot to life. How will the heroine complete her task now that she's encountered yet another obstacle? What can justice look like here? Are you sure you have the right suspect? Because here's another angle that you missed. I found myself wondering a little more instead of just assuming. I found myself more easily sitting with my own humanity in the light of stories that also carried both joy and grief, both love and fear. I began to imagine what I could do if I wasn't so weighed down by what I know, and who I could be if I was willing to consider more possibilities. I share this story with you to ask this: what if we read the parable of the sower? The story of Jesus, beyond what we think we know? What if it was more than just a tool to measure and judge and analyze ourselves to different soils? Because really, that makes the story all about me, and it doesn't leave me with a very good image of God either. And I believe that a parable isn't just an idea to think about, but something that we participate in. So much is left to us and to our own imagination. We filter it through our own experience and reason, and we each may come to various different conclusions, all from the same story. So what could we perceive? What could be different? So I invite you to listen to the parable again from Matthew 13, 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." As I read this parable as an adult, I don't hear it quite the same way that I did in my childhood. Because if I'm being honest, I recognize myself in all four of the soils. I have been the hard path, toughened over time from feeling trampled on and dismissed. I've felt small seeds of joy and hope be snatched away as I've experienced grief and doubt. I've felt my faith blossom only to fall when I have seen and experienced injustice or pain or fear. And I've felt what it means to flourish and thrive in the sun, to be fed well and grow 100 times over. And sometimes I am all of these in one day. And I don't think that I'm the only one who's felt this way. So this makes me wonder. So what if the soil isn't a hard fact that you are one of the four? What if it is not a story about the judgment of the soils, but of the ways that we know God? What if the soil is not about what is, but what could be? Perhaps the soils are a process of becoming, a picture for those of us who choose to follow Jesus and how we're transformed. It would be a story of the slow and steady process and the ways that we prepare for good soil, that we must patiently attend to healthy growth, that even when our soil is the hard dirt road with work and water and turning it, it might become rocky soil. That when we have become rocky soil, we must slowly dig out the rocks so that the seeds can grow deeper. That maybe the weeds will come in, but eventually we can work to remove the thorns too. That our soil can be good, but only after the work is done. And that work matters. When we receive the word of God, we are invited to participate in the act of transformation. The process to get us to the good soil matters. Even the path has the potential to be good soil, because the good news in the kingdom of God is that even death cannot defeat life. And perhaps the best part of the whole parable is that this is not the parable of the soil, but the parable of the sower. That farmer that seems so ignorant, the one who was wasting 3/4 of the seeds as he threw it on the path in the rocky soil and the thorny soil. That sower, the one coming to spread the seeds, to spread the good news, shares so abundantly that he will share with anyone in any soil or season that they're in. The goodness of your soil does not correlate to the generosity of the sower. So when I think that I am not good enough, not valuable enough, not deep enough, not rich enough, the good news is that God's grace is abundant. God's love is so lavish that we are met right where we are. So perhaps that is the invitation for us in the parable of the sower. Yes, there is a promise of God's generous grace and abundant love, no matter where we find ourselves. But there's also an invitation to be a witness. We can offer hope in a world that feels hard and rocky and thorny. We've been there, and we know the soil all too well. But the life of Jesus and the Word of God change us and renew us. And if there was ever a time to share good news, I think we can all agree that the world could use a little more of that. We can embody Jesus and share those seeds with the same abundance of God, throwing seeds of grace and joy and love and hope everywhere. This is the work of a people who have been transformed and who continue to be transformed. So this week, may you participate in imagining the kingdom of God around you, and may you be a part of that abundance.